Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real. Some thoughts on inflation, the markets, the economy, and a closing thought on TLT. The headline producer price index for September jumped 0.4% month over month. On a 12-month basis, PPI rose 8.5%, which was only a slight deceleration from the 8.7% in August. Core PPI was also up 0.4% month over month and increased 5.6% from a year ago, which matches the August increase. Consumer prices also increased 0.4% in September and were up 8.2% from a year ago. But the real surprise was that stripping out food and energy, core prices rose by 0.6%, pushing core inflation up to 6.6% year over year, a new cyclical high since 1982. According to the Michigan Consumer Confidence Index for October, one-year inflation expectations rebounded to 5.1% this month from 4.7%, while three-year expectations increased to 2.9% from 2.7%. What is most interesting here is that inflation expectations are rising after 300 basis point rate hikes in the Fed funds rate and $100 billion of QT in the past 6 months. The impact on inflation so far is not what the Fed is looking for. The 40-year high inflation will cause the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates from virtually 0% in March of this year all the way to at least 4% by this December 14. The Fed funds rate could even climb to 4.5% to 5% by the first half of 2023. Then, after it reaches this plateau, it should only very slowly decline over the ensuing quarters back towards 2%. In other words, don't expect QE and ZIRP to immediately bail out Wall Street from the upcoming recession. Why can't the Fed rescue stocks, you ask? Mr. Powell and the FOMC are thoroughly embarrassed about claiming inflation would be transitory last year and then promptly seeing it soar close to an all-time record high. So let me just go through some numbers for you. Food at work or in school up 91.4% year over year. Airfare up 42.9%. These are all year over year numbers. Utilities and piped gas up 33.1%. Butter up 32%. Eggs 30%. Health insurance 28%. Public transportation 27%. Gasoline 18%. Poultry 17%. Electricity 15.5%. Milk 15%. Hence, inflation is still way out of line regarding the Fed's 2% target. And since there hasn't been any net growth in the labor market since February of 2020, 158 million total workers today, and that was the same as 3 years ago, there just isn't the usual excess labor to shed in a slowing and contracting economy. Meaning the FOMC, which is full of labor economists, will be getting the wrong signal about the strength of the job market. The Fed's actions have so far led to a decline of 20% in the S&P 500 and over 30% in the NASDAQ. Long-duration bonds have fallen even more than the NASDAQ. These rising rates have also caused credit conditions to tighten significantly. CDS are spiking over major overseas banks, SocGen, UBS, and Credit Suisse. What are CDS? Credit default swaps? It is a derivative that is used to insure a company from default. When the prices rise, the chances of a default increase. Phase one of this grand reconciliation of asset prices, which I warned back in July of 2021, would start in January of this year, has so far been just a multiple contraction. This was purely due to rising interest rates, resetting the PE multiple back down to reflect the competition now offered from fixed income. Phase two of the grand reconciliation of asset prices will be about recession and disinflation. If you want evidence of the coming recession, just look at the crucial real estate market. The demand for mortgages to buy a home dropped 4% last week and was 38% lower than the same week 1 year ago, according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. Applications to refinance a home loan fell 7% compared with the previous week and was an incredible 86% lower than the same week 1 year ago. This is the lowest mortgage demand since 1997. In fact, home inventory, housing inventory is up 27% year over year as mortgage rates have now soared to a 20-year high of 7% from just 2.8% in February of 2020. Lower home prices are just around the corner. Yet we still have the most, we still have most people in government and Wall Street promulgating the view of a soft landing in the economy and are denying that a genuine recession will materialize. In fact, earnings per share for the S&P 500 is projected by FactSet to grow by 8% in 2023. More specifically, earnings per share is projected to come in at $223 per share this year and is expected to rise to $241 next year. However, during a typical recession, and there is great evidence that this recession will be worse than just ordinary due to the plunging reverse wealth effect and the over-leveraged condition of the public and private sectors, earnings usually plunge. The average earnings decline across all 10 of the past recessions has been about 30%. Here's why this recession will be acute. So I'm going to go over some figures for you. The total market cap to GDP was 123% at the end of 2018. Today it stands at 145%. The reason why I use 2018, because that's the last time interest rates were at 2.5%. They're now at 3% and supposed to go to 4%, as I mentioned, maybe even 4.5% in the middle of next year. But at the end of 2018, they were 2.5% and the market fell apart. Total debt as a percentage of nominal GDP. Total U.S. debt to GDP was 775% in 2018. In 2022, it has soared to 810% and is currently extremely high relative to historical levels. Turning to household debt to GDP, household debt was $15.6 trillion at the end of 2018. It has jumped by over $3 trillion since then. And while it is true that household debt as a percent of GDP is off its highs set in the Great Recession of 2008, this ratio is still higher than it was in 2018, and it is far greater than it was prior to the Fed's massive interest rate suppression regime beginning in the year 2000. And finally, let's look at non-financial corporate business debt. The corporate debt to GDP ratio is higher than at any other time in history prior to the COVID pandemic. Non-financial corporate business debt to GDP was 45% in 2018. As of the second quarter of 2022, this ratio now stands at over 50%. For historical reference, this ratio topped out at 45% at the peak of the NASDAQ bubble in 2000 and also in the real estate Great Recession bubble in 2008. Phase two of this bear market should bring the S&P 500 down to at least 3,000 and could be as low as 2,000 if earnings per share falls by the average 30% amount and the multiple falls to the low teens. This equity debacle will be driven by a faltering economy as opposed to just rising interest rates, meaning shorts and bonds will work well. PPS is completely prepared for this second and more brutal phase of the bear market. Remember, the consumer is being attacked on several fronts. 18 months of negative real wage growth, a massive reverse wealth effect, and a huge increase on debt service payments. Over 80 of the world's central banks are tightening monetary policy concurrently, and the Fed is engaged with the most hawkish cycle ever, raising the Fed funds rate by a series of 75 basis point rate hikes, just as it is also burning $95 billion per month of base money supply. Remember, that's per month, not a year. Every month. Hence, instead of just saving our clients from the vast majority of the average 27% decline in the S&P and the NASDAQ, we have the potential of making money in the next part of the decline once Treasury prices rise. Then we will use the same IDEC model that began protecting us in December of 2021 to identify when the bear market is finally over. Just to reemphasize the salient point, because inflation reached a 40-year high this year and will just slowly return to 2%, the Fed will be extremely reticent to come to the rescue of Wall Street. And don't expect another fiscal stimulus package from DC either. Therefore, Mr. Powell will probably not want to return to zero interest rate policies and QE anytime in the foreseeable future. In other words, don't expect a V-shaped recovery in the economy or stock market like we have enjoyed coming out of the past recessions. We need to closely monitor changes in fiscal and monetary policies in the G3 nations, along with the 18 other components in our IDEC model, to determine if the next bull market will bring us toward another battle with intractable inflation, or one where growth and inflation accelerate moderately, or we just end up looking more like the zombified economy of Japan. We need to know when the bear market will end and which asset classes and sectors to own when it does. That is what successful investing across liquidity cycles is all about. I still believe long-duration treasuries will work very well for us once the recession becomes undeniable, probably around the first quarter of 2023 at the very latest. If it does not work when the economic data from the Labor Department and ISMs turns negative, for whatever reason, either because of illiquidity engendered by quantitative tightening or due to countries selling treasury reserves to boost their currencies, I will surely sell. But remember, being long treasuries, at least short-term treasuries, is essential when trying to profit from a recession. Otherwise, being in a high net short position in the portfolio is just too dangerous. Think about what happened in July, or even the last, couple of days before today. And after all, we are only down about 3% this year compared to being down 25 to 30% like the rest, when nothing is working. So it won't take much to turn us positive for the year, even during one of the worst bear markets in history. That, by the way, is only going to intensify before it ends.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.